happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to the Acts After the Sermon podcast, this series that we are just filling in some of the gaps, talking through some things that we talked about on Sunday, as well as getting into some of the details that we can't get to as we're going through this limited series through the book of Acts. So we will just hope that the major themes and the application will take us through this week. And as we look into Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, we covered a big chunk of text the week previous, and then we get to see just this beautiful picture of this first local church. So, Pastor Matt, if you can just kind of tell us what's happening in this handful of verses.
Yeah, first off, I've really enjoyed these conversations after the sermon, and I hope the church is as well. It's a good recap for me. And here in Acts chapter 2, all of his response coming out of Peter's sermon. Peter preaches a sermon, and 3,000 people are added to the church. But as we talked about on Sunday, it's not the awesomeness of the sermon. It's not the program. The disciples didn't have the greatest children's ministry or the greatest vision statement. They simply obeyed. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were used to bring 3,000 people to faith in Jesus. So right away, you're seeing an incredible movement take place. People are seeing the miraculous works of God. They're asking questions. You see in verse 37, brothers, what should we do? And Peter responds, repent and believe the gospel, be baptized. And Jesus will forgive your sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, verse 38. And so that's what happens. And at the end of, in verse 41, they accepted the message. Those who accepted the message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. So verses 42 through 47 is really what these 3,000 people are doing now that they have, by faith, believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What does life look like for them in the probably the earliest picture of the church that we see? We don't see the word church here. We don't know what this is called, but something incredible is being formed. And it all begins through Jesus purchasing a people with his own blood and through the power of the Holy Spirit working through men like Peter to draw people to Jesus.
Yeah, awesome. So, yeah, we definitely seen some incredible sort of high spiritual things happening. And I feel like this gets more to the, I don't know, down to earth. Like, what's life really look like? Because not every day is the day of Pentecost. Not every day is having, you know, walking by a bunch of foreigners who are suddenly now speaking your language.
Right.
So what do we see this early church? What is it that they're doing in their day-to-day life?
Yeah, I mentioned it on Sunday. I find this passage, like you said, just it's down to earth. Is that how you phrased it? What was life like? For them. I mean, we think of this often. What was life like, you know, 100 years ago when we didn't have all these different commodities that we have? Well, there's a lot of similarities to our lives to then. It's just based on the time, the context, it looks a little different, but the same core principles are at play. So when we look at life for them then, we understand that their context, but also understand our life now should look as similar to these people as possible. So for one, we're introduced to that word devoted. They are devoted people. These are not a complacent people. There's a devoted people. I mean, their lives have just been changed by the gospel. And usually by faith, become Christ followers, there is a devotion. But over time, there is a complacency that unfortunately settles in. And so this is, we're seeing life as a follower of Jesus inside the local church. So they're devoted. They're devoted to the apostles' teaching. This would be to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 28, in the commands to go and make disciples, teaching them all that I've commanded you to do. So they're learning all the teachings of Jesus. So I imagine they're hearing what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, what Jesus talked about repentance, what Jesus talked about abiding in him. So they're learning firsthand from the apostles. They're also fellowshipping with one another. That means they're involved in one another's life. This is not just a once a week occurrence where they just attend the same thing at the same time every Sunday. But this word fellowship is, there is a commonality between them, and they understand that, and they're devoted to it. Church is not just, or being with the people of God is not just something that they do every once in a while. They're devoted to it. And then you see they're devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Two different things that really show the same emphasis is that they are devoted to the hope of the gospel and a dependence on the gospel. So breaking of bread there, as we mentioned, could be eating together, just dinner time. But I think we see that later on in the verse, the verses. But here, when we see breaking of bread, I think it specifically has to do with the Lord's Supper, that Jesus broke bread as representing his body. And so this is a gospel implication, that they're devoted to the hope of the gospel. And a prayer is just a dependence on God. So there's a gospel dependence that they're devoting their lives to. They're not dependent on themselves or anyone else. They understand that life now following Jesus is a devoted dependence on him.
Then I imagine this plays out not always conveniently too. You know, not just, you know, I think the complacent thing is an issue, but sometimes I think we can think the church is just, well, when it's convenient.
Yeah.
You know, when it can fit into my schedule, these things are, you know, going on.
Yeah. And I think when you look historically at this group of people, and you see it in parts of the world based on our context, it's very easy for most of us to get to church. Like, even if we drive long ways away, like, we're not walking miles to be with people we love at church. We're not burdened by the restrictions of the day that they would have had. Plus, on the flip side, they're dealing with from a Jewish cultural response, right? What does that mean? Are they engaging on the Sabbath? There's lots of cultural things going on, and that does not prevent them because they're devoted to the Lord's church. They see the immense value of being with these people. And so for us today, we are, unfortunately, it's easy for us to set church aside for something else. Like, we won't do it with work. And we talked through this on Sunday. Like, if we wouldn't call our boss and say, hey, I've decided to take a boat day, right? Like, you plan those things out, but you just don't wake up and feel like you're going to work. Like, there's ramifications for that. So it's easy for church. We have lowered the standard of what we even hold ourselves to in our 9-to-5 or our daily work life. And we'll pick things that for the kids or, you know, sports. So we take this lack of complacency, and it comes out of not truly being devoted to God's people, like we see. And even Hebrews reminds us, don't forsake the gathering of the church, because it's good for us to be with one another.
This devotion to these kind of three different areas here, what happens when we're devoted to those things as Christians?
Well, the first response you see in verse 43 is they're filled with awe. Like, they're amazed at what God is doing. For one, they're learning the teachings of Jesus. they're learning from, and they're engaging with other brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we've been around other Christians, and they'll say something in awe of what God is doing through them. Like in our most recent life group, I asked the question at my table, like, how many of you, this is the first time you've ever read the book of Nahum? And three people raised their hands. And like, that's incredible. Like, there are people growing in their faith and reading things of scripture that they've never learned before. And it's not a, like, how dare you've never read Nahum, because it's probably further down the list of books we go to, but they're learning.
Well, I mean, it's in the middle.
It's in the three chapters, easy to get disconnected from, you know, by that time in your Bible reading, you're just ready to get to Matthew. So we're like, we'll just jump there. So you see, I mean, that I think brings awe when you see lives changed by the gospel. And then even just the gospel dependence on how we relate to Jesus as sinners, how we relate to one another as sinners, how we're dependent on prayer. The first response is awe. And I think that is missing at times. And all of it goes back to, well, maybe it's because we're not truly devoted to the things we should be devoted to.
I often think about that. I like to take day trip to St. Augustine ever so often, just because it's fun to walk around and see all the old stuff and go through that old downtown area. And so there's a Greek Orthodox shrine, which, you know, there's obviously some belief issues there for that. But you can see the awe in the art, in the way that they set up that shrine, that's that devotion aspect of, this is something that is so incredible. I have to put it out with the most, you know, with gold embroidery and jewels, and, you know, again, they've missed the mark on the gospel, but.
Well, I think it shows a little bit of how God's made us.
Yeah.
Well, he's made us to find awe in him. And obviously living in a fallen world, we're turned to other things, work, people, celebrities, sports, historical places, just artwork, other religions. But the church helps, a Christ-centered church helps reorient that all to God himself. And so when we see God at work around us, we see how beautiful and wonderful that is to just say, man, God, you are awesome. There's no one else could do what you have done in and through us.
So what else, what other responses come out of the devotion of these early believers?
Yeah, the four things that we looked at Sunday are what we would call our discipleship pathway, where we believe a follower of Jesus at Grace Life Church is living out their walk with the Lord in these four ways. Now, it's different stages of life. There's different parts of your spiritual life. We understand that not everybody's going to be at the same level per se, but this is what it should be fleshed out at.
It's not a cookie cutter.
Correct.
But yeah. It's got the markers of.
Yeah. We want to, this is some of the evidence that we see in those who are faithfully following the Lord. So those four things are gather, grow, connect, and influence. And they're not ranked in any order. We've done that on purpose because some people get brought into that pathway in different parts. And we've recently added gather, at least on our level, the importance of gathering with the church. Some things that we're re-emphasizing even in this Acts series, because it had been grow, connect, influence, but that gathering is such a core component. Because when you're doing, you can't do these, you can't connect alone. It's hard to influence alone. It's hard to grow alone. So you need people. And so you see that throughout the whole book of Acts. We've already looked at it a couple times. Each of the sermons, we focused on how these people are together. Like there's no silo Christians. There's no island Christians. That doesn't make sense to our faith. The Lord has given us the church to be with brothers and sisters. So we see this devotion leads to a, I want to be with the people of God as much as I can. They're doing it day to day. That's just their cultural lifestyle. That's really hard for us to do. But I think maybe it's not face to face, but I do think we can take advantage of some technological advances and text one another daily or every other day.
Well, that's why Howie gets pictures of cats every day.
It is specifically so you can...
I'm just following the example of the Acts 2 church.
I don't even know what to say to Howie. He just suffers for the Lord.
You're welcome, is what I say.
Well, I think that's, you know, like, hey, I may not send you pictures of cats, but I'll pray for you. So, but yeah, it's even the engagement, like using Howie as an example. I'll text him about fantasy football recently or sports. And I'll do this with other people. People will text me someone sent me a meme recently about when the preacher says he's almost finished, you can expect another 20 minutes. I love those. I know it came from just a great place. And then I responded with a meme and their line of work. And you just got, but that's the beauty of, I think, the local church is that gathering, yes, on Sunday morning is vitally important. We should do everything we can to be there and engage, not just show up and check it off the list, but show up early. Come early enough to pray with us out in the front door. Stay a little late and talk to people. Don't make it just 10 to 11:15. Make it 9:30 to 11:30, right? Just you can make it more than just the formal
obligation.
Yeah, component of it. And then even life groups, gathering. That's another just connection point to the church. So they gather and then they're growing. Obviously, this spiritually, you don't see this response from them if they are not growing in who they are in Christ. We're not devoted to people that we don't have anything in common unless the Holy Spirit has done a work in us to help us see that, hey, we may not have anything in common earthly, right? But we have all things in common because we're brothers and sisters. So my stuff is your stuff. It's not handouts, obviously, but there's generosity. There's kindness, there's joy, there's grace, all of it you see. So that's the growing connected specifically to God's word and the gospel. Like you can't grow without those things. Then you see them connecting. There is a intentionality of being together at a deeper level, one-on-one. They're meeting together at the temple. They're breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. So now you see they're eating meals together. They're not only participating in the Lord's Supper together, but they're eating meals together. We talk about, hey, if you go out to eat with someone, like you've now entered into a different type of relationship than just a handshake or fist bump, and maybe not even that on a Sunday morning. So the encouragement I have is after church on Sunday, go out to eat with someone from church. Like this is something my family has been trying to incorporate as best we can to just spend some time with someone from church afterwards. If there's not, like the potluck is a great example of this because you get to have just normal conversations about life and you see friendships flourish and evolve. And so they're connecting. And then there's an influence component. The church is not inside the walls, it's outside the walls. And you see they have favor with all people. This is a specifically looking to a outside of the church and then God's adding to their number. So they're not afraid to share the gospel with people. They're sharing the hope and praising God for all of it. So this is what we're called. They're obeying the Great Commission from Acts 1:8. All, I think, as we talked about, of an overflow of they're just devoted to the Word of God. They're devoted to the Church of God. They're devoted to the gospel of God. And knowing that they can't do any of it without depending on the Holy Spirit working through them.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, we see just before this all that work of the Holy Spirit in you know, sort of fireworks is what I was going to say, which I guess is technically true if we're thinking about the tongues of fire.
Yeah.
But I mean, this, the generosity, the connection, all the things that we've talked through today, again, is from that spirit connection. It's the only reason they're selling their possessions or breaking bread together, receiving things, you know, praising God, praying, all these things are spirit led activities.
Right. And the Spirit dwells within us, right? But so often we treat church and Christian relationship as a surface level thing. We're afraid to go deep. We're afraid to go to the heart level in all of this. And this is why we reiterated, Lord, I want to be available for a deeply rooted Christian community. Like, I want to spend time around brothers and sisters in Christ in a world where everybody is enemies to God, right? Why would we not want to be around more people who are, we're going to spend eternity in heaven with? And that's only possible, as you said, because of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, just powerful stuff all throughout Acts. Any other last thoughts, things you didn't get to mention?
Yeah, I think the last just reminder, and just because I reiterated it on Sunday, I'm reiterating it now. You cannot live the Christian life alone. It is not in God's good design. You run into trouble. You need help. The church is here for our good and God's glory. And so if you tend to be an isolator, there's going to be some intentionality and accountability that you need to get in to life group, discipleship groups, connecting with one another, and don't wait for someone to come to you. You can also reach out as well. On the flip side of that, I think every member of the church should be aware of people sitting alone. We should not want to see anyone be alone. We should want to intervene and help and just serve. And just maybe someone sitting alone doesn't mean they're in a bad space, but it's just hey, we're coming together. We belong to the family of God. And so my encouragement is, hey, dig deeper into Christian community. Be rooted in it. Be devoted to it. That means you're going to make some decisions for your family that are maybe go against the ways of how the world sees things. But hey, that's okay. We're not called to fit in with the world. We're called to stand out. So yeah, you might have to tell your kids, coach, listen, we don't participate in these things if it interferes with church. I'm not anti-sports on Sunday, but I'm very much in my family, we're not going to go do sports in place of church. We'll meet up with you. If there's a game in the afternoon, we'll be there. Like, we're outside enjoying God's creation. We'll be there if that happens, but we won't be there in place of church. And so that's where you have to have those hard conversations, and also tell your kids, church matters. Not the religious check mark, but being with the people of God matters, because this is how we thrive in a world that is anti-God, anti-religious establishments. But here we see in Acts 2, joy and praising God for all that he was doing through the lives of the people around us.
Yeah, because you said something earlier about, you know, we don't value church as much as we should. And that's, again, the real value. It's like not in punching the card. It's not in, you know, feeling like I've met an obligation, but there is joy
Yeah. And being with the church.
Yeah.
And you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. And I know we need to end it and we can continue, but when you're here with the people of God, engage, you know, sing the song, say, hey, show up early. Or at least on time, you know, stay a little later, chat with people, serve. That's where you see that belonging. I mean, there's some soapboxes I can stand on here and continue on. Maybe that's like Acts after the sermon, after the podcast, where it's just me on my soapbox of, hey, we could do church life a little better. And Pastor Matt unhinged. I don't know. But
we can make that a video series and just get the right lighting and red light LEDs in the back.
Listen, I'm glad you're at church. If you show up late, I will never tell you you're late. But if you're late every week, then hey, something's gotta change. So
and again, you're missing out.
You're missing out on so much. On so much. I would say my favorite times on Sunday mornings are probably before and after, because you're interacting with people and you're hearing how the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. So, yeah, final encouragement before we sign off is come to church early and stay late.
Well, we will continue our kind of fast speed journey through Acts next week, looking at Acts 3.
No, next week is Family Sunday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we'll have a special guest on the podcast next week.
Yes. And let's just say water's involved.
Yeah. I know
a little bit.
I know a guy that was going to be a great addition to the podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, bring your friends in pairs.
There we go.
But
there we go.
So look forward to that Family Sunday as we just continue. Yeah. Worshiping God and studying His Word out.
So we gotta log off before our emails are flooded.
We do. So love you guys. Again, I reach out. Don't try to do life alone. And we will see you next week.